is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com and to all the Pal Talk listeners as well. I'm always honored and thrilled to connect with each and every one of you. So it is a real pleasure for not only myself, but for BBS Radio and our guest for this evening. Our toll-free numbers are, for the USA, is 877-270-8714. For Canada, the number is 888-861-3519. Our direct lines are same area code 530-876-9026, 876-3223, or 413-4515. And boy, do we have an exciting show to share with each and every one of you this evening. We are actually going to be talking about past lives. Now, our guest for this evening, his name is Richard Savla, and he has written a really incredible book, and I've been really excited about sharing it with each of you this evening, and the title is called Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindenburg. Now, what's really interesting is it really gives you, if you've had any questions about past lives and how it is affecting us, is incarnation really real? Does it affect us in our everyday life? You bet it does. And for all those in the Pal Talk room, I'm actually going to hold up the book for each of you to take a look at it. I'm really excited about this book, and the reason for that is Richard has done an excellent job of really tapping into and unfolding reincarnation of actually from Lincoln to Lindenburg, which was actually the same individual. And it's so canny of the how when you look at their pictures, how they actually carried the same physical characteristics as well as the personality traits as well. So if you will bear with me, allow me to share some background information for each of you. And in his new book called Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindenburg, Richard Savla presents nearly 500 similarities in the personalities, characters, and life circumstances of these two American icons. The connections span every aspect of the human condition, from the physical to the mental, emotional, spiritual, and interpersonal, and provides convincing evidence that Lincoln reincarnated as Lindenburg. By drawing parallels to the life and words of Lincoln, the author explains how past life experiences influenced Lindenburg, thus presenting answers to questions about the aviator that have puzzled historians for decades, such as why Lindenburg fought so hard to prevent America from entering World War II. 40% of Americans do indeed believe in reincarnation or consider it a possibility, yet few are aware of how past life patterns affect them. And I want you to pay attention for just a moment about those words, aware of how past life patterns affect us. Soul Journey fills this gap by offering an experience of reincarnation through clear and precise parallels between the lives of Lincoln and Lindenberg. The reader discovers how the hidden laws of karma and reincarnation impact the events of his or her life daily, his or her daily life. And I'm going to reread that again because this is another key element of importance. The hidden laws of karma and reincarnation, how it impacts the events of all of our lives on a daily basis. Now, Richard Salva has studied yoga philosophy and practiced its teachings for 30 years. An author and minister, he has lectured on reincarnation, yoga philosophy, and history in the United States and in Europe. Without further delay, please, let's give Richard Salva a warm welcome to the show. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you, Leilani. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is always such an honor, and I'm really excited because I noticed, and this is so interesting, Richard, past lives have really been coming up a lot around me. And I know that today, well, the past, 7 months, we have really been asked to tap into those particular past lives and patterns that we're all being affected by and to either heal them or to come to terms with them. And that's why I really have appreciated your book, because you've done such a beautiful job unfolding for even the most common person, and when I say that, I mean a person that is not awakened yet. When they pick up the book, they understand it, they get it.
Yes, the book itself is a kind of a vicarious experience of reincarnation, because by going through these little life stories from Lincoln and then Lindberg, and they're paired so that you can compare their experiences and see the connections between them, the reader is able then afterward to start to see how those sort of connections happen in his or her own life as well. I've had this experience while working on the book. I believe in reincarnation as I was working on it, before I was working on it. But in the process of putting it together, my understanding just grew so tremendously. And I've heard from others who have read the book, and many people have told me that reading the book really helped them to start to see. It really opened their eyes to how past lives and karma affect them, even on a daily basis.
Yes, and that's, and I know that has been very predominant in my life. It's really interesting because one of the past lives I'm very aware of for myself as a person is I was a female, and I actually was the first woman that actually owned her own media company. And I started off printing a newspaper, and it grew in time. And it's really interesting because that's what I'm doing in this lifetime.
Yes, you're still involved in the media. Apparently, you still have something that you want to do through that, and it looks like you're very much spiritualizing that particular avenue of service to humanity by having such a spiritual radio show. You know, we often, in reincarnation, what happens is we're allowed through many lifetimes to explore the various avenues of interest that we have. You know, maybe in one lifetime you see something or something stimulates your curiosity and you say, oh, I wonder what it would be like to be able to be so great at sports or to be so big in science or to be a great writer or whatever it may be. And in that particular lifetime, you're not able to explore it because you know, we take so much time just to put bread on the table and so on, and there's no opportunity. But that doesn't matter because we really have all the time we need. In some future lifetime, we'll be given the opportunity to explore that, and eventually we'll take it to the farthest degree of understanding that we can take it to. And when we've done that, then we will be finished with that and we'll be able to move on. But we will carry with us the important deep understanding, the life lessons through becoming a success in anything. We learn how to become a success at everything.
Yes, and interestingly enough, in this particular lifetime, well, in that past lifetime, it was unheard of, and of course, in those that particular age, women obviously were not allowed to vote. They really didn't have a voice. You know, they
yeah.
were to take care of the home and the children while the husbands went out and conducted business, so forth. So, of course, you know, by me being the first woman to step up. To actually open my own media, newspaper, print, that didn't go too well in that lifetime. So a group of men got together and said, "We've got to put her out." And so through, you know, years of struggle, they were finally able to shut me down. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful because, you know, in this lifetime, I'm actually able to achieve moving forward, being able to be on the radio and other medias of medium, media, and bring back balance. And that brings me into asking you this very important question about your book.
Yes.
What was your inspiration? How did you tap into exploring the past lives?
Yes, well, I've been studying reincarnation as part of my path of yoga for over 30 years. The path that I follow is that given by Paramahansa Yogananda. He's a great master of yoga, and many people know him as the author of the spiritual classic, The Autobiography of a Yogi. And it was actually Yogananda himself who about, say, 55 or 60 years ago, made the statement that Abraham Lincoln, in a past life, had been an advanced Himalayan yogi, and that he was reborn as Charles Lindbergh. And I thought this was a really quite a fascinating statement, and I thought I would investigate it. So I went into the history books, and I dove into them, and there's just so much information about both men. I thought here was a real opportunity to try to see what reincarnation and karma are really all about. Because if we can find examples in the lives of these two famous men, then these are universal laws. You know, whatever applies to famous people also applies to you and me. You are not quite as so famous. And so I thought I would investigate it, and I was just really literally blown away by what I discovered. You mentioned it yourself. Nearly 500 direct and fascinating parallels and connections between Lincoln and Lindbergh, more than 200 between Abraham Lincoln, his life and words, and the ancient spiritual science of yoga, and also more than 100 between Charles Lindbergh and the path of yoga. And there was actually more that I discovered that I didn't put in the book, but I wanted to put the best that I found in the book, and so that's what you get when you get Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindbergh.
Well, you've done an excellent job, and I really wanted to bring that forth as well, because it's very obvious you really know your stuff about past lives. You've put a lot of thought to this, and it was just, you know, it's almost, I got chills as I went through your book and went, wow. Now, I'm one of those fortunate people. It was really interesting because I had gone to an event up in Sedona. And when I walked in, the gentleman that was actually doing the event, his name is Fred Sterling. He's from Hawaii, and he walks up to me and says, "I have a picture of you. I know exactly who you are." And I'm thinking, huh. He said, well, he teaches signature sales.
Uh-huh.
And so he says, when I get to that part of the film, I will stop it and point you out. Oh, my gosh, Richard.
Yes.
He did just that, and I thought, I took a look at this picture, and I went, oh, my God, am I ever ugly. But that said, I actually could see a lot of the characteristics, the physical characteristics, even in the Lemurian days.
Yes.
And you
yes,
talk
we
about
often
this.
Carry some, what happens is when we leave a lifetime, that we don't change dramatically just because we leave our physical bodies. We have other bodies that we then remain within, including our astral body, which goes into the astral world. And then when we take on a new form, we often carry physical characteristics with us because we're used to seeing ourselves in mirrors and other reflective surfaces that show us to look in a certain way. And so when we form our bodies through our ego, the first part of the body that is formed is at the medulla oblongata, and that is the base of the ego in the body. And so through that point, we form our physical bodies, and often there are characteristics that we carry with us from past lives. You can see that, as you mentioned, in the lives of Lincoln and Lindbergh. Both men had light-colored eyes that were deep-set. They were both tall and thin. They both had large hands and feet. They both tended to hunch their shoulders, which is unusual, and they had many other various physical habits in common, as well as social habits and mental habits and all sorts of pretty much every way that you can define an individual. There is a connection between the two men.
Well, may I share one of the physical characteristics that I had noticed as well? And because you've done a beautiful job of putting both, you know, their two pictures side by side. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I noticed is that their eyebrows, you know, they kind of, I call them a cliff, mm-hmm. where their eyebrows seem to, you know, go forward and then have a slight slant to it. And I noticed that they both have that same physical characteristics. Now, the eyes are just, I mean, you can't mistake the eyes at all.
Yes, yes. Actually, Yogananda used to go along with that saying that the eyes are the windows of the soul. In fact, there's a look in the eye that is particular to each individual soul. It's as individual as a thumbprint. You can't duplicate it. And when you look into the eyes, deeply into the eyes of Lincoln and Lindbergh, there's just that look in there that you could see this is the same individual soul looking out through two different bodies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And these were obviously, even though we know that they're the same person, they were both great men here on the planet.
Yes, yes. In fact, you see that in Lindbergh. It's, you know, to be somebody like Abraham Lincoln, that's a tough act to follow. And it's hard to, you know, try to figure who might have been reincarnated and as whom when you're thinking of these great people. One way that you can tell if there is that connection is that they have to at least be able to manifest an equal amount of energy. And Charles Lindbergh certainly did that when he flew the Atlantic, pulling together that whole project and succeeding in it. Was a tremendous, tremendous undertaking, and he did a lot of it on his own, even though he had helped us to, of course, put the airplane together. Just to make that flight, he had to stay up for several nights. And in fact, most people don't know this, but there was the 80th anniversary of his flight about a month ago or so. During that flight, when he was in the middle of it, he had a number of metaphysical experiences that really relate to that past life that Yogananda was talking about as a Himalayan yogi.
Yes. I apologize to you because that was bringing my thoughts to, you know, the Yogananda, you know, because he's a great man as well. And they have been here in Arizona, and it was just interesting because a dear friend of mine went to see him and called me right away and said, you know, I was sitting there and had this energy flash right before me. I know that you're supposed to meet this man, and there's some form of a connection between the two of you, and that's, you know, that just goes to show that each of us, you know, had past live experiences with each other. And, you know, I know that a lot of times I can walk in a room and I just know this person, this remembrance.
Yes. You know, it's interesting and fascinating what you're talking about, because about half a year ago I went to Manhattan for a media convention, and I was meeting various producers of national TV and radio programs, and there was one woman there who, when I went up to meet her, I was talking about my book, Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindbergh, and she just grabbed my arms and she said, "I know you." She said, "I don't know how, but I know you." She said, I have goosebumps just standing here with you." And she says, "How is this possible?" And I laughed and I said, "Well, you've done my work for me. I'm here to talk about reincarnation and past lives. And here's an obvious instance where we know each other, even though we've never connected in this lifetime." It was really, really amazing.
Yeah, so that brings me to my next question, Richard. Okay? Mm. Because you talk about in your book, okay, let me go back up here for just a moment, and I'd like to share the title of this book once again with all of you. It's called Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindbergh, Revealing the Mysteries of Karma and Rebirth. You know, I'd like to touch on that just a little bit about the karma, and then flow right into rebirth, if we may. And you know, there are individuals that don't necessarily believe in karma, and we do have some listeners that aren't quite sure what karma is. And
yes,
if you could, you know, share that with our listeners this evening. And why,
yes,
it's so important.
Certainly, I'd be happy
to understand
it. I think that many people believe that karma means punishment. Usually when you hear the word used, and the K word is something that many people use nowadays. In fact, I was watching TV and fairly recently, and I noticed that in two reality shows, two people had used the word, but I could tell from my perspective that they didn't really have a deep understanding of the word. As I said, most people think that it means punishment, but the word karma literally means action, and it's an impersonal law in the universe. It's a law, it's a teaching tool of the universe, that whatever you put out comes back to you, either positive or negative. And it's not meant to punish, but it's a universal law, just as if you were to put your hand onto a burning stove, you would feel pain. There's nobody there wanting you to feel pain, but if you didn't feel pain, you would leave your hand there and it would be destroyed. And so you feel that pain, so you pull your hand away so that you will save your hand. In the same way with karma, if you do something brings pain to somebody else, then you'll have to experience pain yourself so that eventually you'll understand the right way to behave in this world, so as to bring yourself and others joy. And you can actually see the flow of karma from the lives of Lincoln and Lindbergh, how something that Lincoln did either came back to bless or bite Lindbergh. There was one instance in particular where Abraham Lincoln received a letter from his father saying that his father was dying. And at that time, Lincoln didn't have actually a very good connection with his father. And so he wrote back and he said, "You know, if I were to come now, things might not go so well." And so he just wished him that whatever would happen, that he would surrender himself into the arms of God. And it was in some ways a sweet letter, but he didn't go to visit him. Now, when Charles Lindbergh's father was dying, his life situation was such that he wasn't able to visit his father, even though the two of them were very close. And even though he was actually some months earlier able to visit his father, but his father had been taken ill before then and was unable to speak. So even though he was visiting his father, the two of them weren't able to talk together, really. And so you see how this karma works. You put out a certain energy, positive or negative, and it comes back. On a positive level, we see that Abraham Lincoln was very understanding. He gave second chances to his generals during the Civil War. And he was very lenient this way often. And if there was a possibility that this man might be able to turn things around, he was going to allow him to do that with McClellan and others. And you see in the life of Charles Lindbergh how he wanted to become involved in World War II. He wanted to help fight the war, but he was prevented from doing so because he had this falling out with FDR, who laid down the law that nobody should allow Lindbergh to participate, even though he really wanted to. But there were certain generals in the American Army who made it possible for Lindbergh to participate, who allowed him to fly these missions as a so-called observer in the Pacific. And actually, Lindbergh participated in 50 active battle missions in the Pacific through the intercession of these generals. And so you see here how Abraham Lincoln helped generals to have a second chance in the Civil War, and certain American generals helped Lindbergh to have a second chance at things during World War II.
Wow. We're going to have some questions here. I've already got people raising their hands up to ask questions. So as soon as I get those questions up, here we go. Okay, here's your first question. Son, when he was just 4 years old, would always make statements saying, when I was an old man, then one day he led me to a burial ground, artifacts dated 10,000 years ago. Can you clarify that question for me, if you would? I feel like what they're trying to ask is that, you know, first of all, letting you know that they had been taken one day to this ground artifact. So I think they're trying to find out more information about that. If you'll just give us a moment here, we'll work on that. Okay, Richard?
Yes, that's fine. You know, as we're waiting for that, it's interesting to notice that many children will have memories of their past lives right around the ages of 3 and 4 and a little bit beyond. After a certain number of years, those memories will fade. And so it's interesting, if you are open to this, if you have a child, we don't want to lead them in the direction of saying, gee, who were you in a past life? Come on, tell us, or anything like that. But if they were to spontaneously talk about it, there, you can tell when a child is just making something up as opposed to actually expressing something that they really had experienced in a past life. They will express themselves in very mature and adult terms often, and they will talk about the sort of issues that adults deal with. They'll talk about death, they'll talk about having been a parent, they'll talk about having been an adult in various ways, their livelihoods, going to war, all sorts of things. So it's fascinating to hear those sort of things coming out of the mouths of these babes, as it were.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read this question one more time, because he's mentioning about the past lives. So I'm going to start over again, if you will permit.
Yes,
and he
certainly.
Says here, son, when he was just 4 years old, would always make statements saying, when I was an old man, then one day he led me to a burial ground, artifacts dated 10,000 years ago, was his past life.
Well, it's, you know, from what we can make from that statement, as you said, it's hard to get much clarity from it, but it sounds like he's talking about his son remembering a past life, and perhaps with his father and mother, whoever wrote this note, this message, and that it was somewhere around 10,000 years ago. It depends on how a child is talking. You know, if a child knows you're into past lives, and just, you can tell when they're making something up. But if they're very serious, sometimes they'll get a strange look on their faces. I'll give you an example. There was a man who was into reincarnation, and in this particular instance, he sort of led the child, but the result was amazing. He was talking with a young girl who was part of his family, perhaps a niece or someone like that, and this girl asked him to help her to tie her shoes. And when after he had done that, he looked at her and he said, "What kind of shoes did you used to have before you had these?" And she said that her eyes became sort of opaque, and it was like she was looking back in time. And she spoke in a strange voice, and she said, they used to tie all the way up to my knees, and she was describing the sort of boots that young women used to wear in the Victorian era. And these long laces and, going all the way up the front of the leg. And she sort of was talking about that, and then she just sort of shook her head, and then she looked at her uncle, and they said, well, got to go, or something, and ran off. But again, for the person who wrote this, it depends on your child, the way that they said it, and it may very well be true. It may very well be a past life, but it would depend on how they said it.
Universal Spiritual Connection Show. I am your host, May Leilani, and we do apologize for our technical problems, and I know that each and every one of you do indeed understand. We are talking with Richard Salva on his great book called Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindbergh, Revealing the Mysteries of Karma and Rebirth. So we were just about to ask Lady's question, and so Richard, are you with me?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can. Well, Lady's question to you, Richard, is she says, I find that I wonder what my past life is, but always come up with a blank thought of it. Am not sure why. Could you possibly share parts of my past life with her?
Yes, yes. Well, actually, I actually don't do past life readings per se. Sometimes I will have intuitions about somebody's past lives. Sometimes I will mention them. Oftentimes I won't if it doesn't seem like it would be helpful. Many times there is a reason for this veil that comes over our minds between lifetimes that prevents us from seeing certain past lives, because, well, just take a look at your own life right now and just think back to many of the challenges that we've all had to go through and some of the pains that we've experienced. And if we were to bring that into our next life and remember it all, not only this lifetime, but the lifetime before and before and before, it would be a tremendous burden for us to carry with us unless we were very spiritually advanced and would be able to handle all that information and everything that went with it. And so for you, if you are interested in knowing your past lives, the best way to do so is by learning to meditate. In meditation, you will realize that you are a spirit that is untouched by the various cycles of birth and death, that these things don't touch you in your deepest self. Once you realize that you are that spirit, then you can step back from this physical body, from this personality that you put on like a jacket for this one brief lifetime, and see that this is just a role that you're playing on the stage of life, as Shakespeare said, and that not only are you playing this role, but in the past you'd played this other role, and that other role, and that other role, but in the deepest sense you weren't any of them, and on one level you were all of them. So if you really want to understand these things, really to experience your own past lives, again, I would recommend learning to meditate. It was through meditation that I myself started to tune into a number of my own past lives. But again, when you start to have those experiences, when you start to remember any particular lifetime, it's often because it has something to do with what is going on right now in your own life, that something that's happening now is triggering that information, and that this information would be helpful for you to know, to be able to resolve what's happening now. What we often do is we attract to ourselves certain experiences over and over, and the idea is that as we do this, we go through them. Each time we go through them, as we're trying to grow spiritually, we'll slowly master that situation until we get to a point where it doesn't touch us spiritually, where we're able to manifest the very highest response to it that we could possibly manifest. We start off at the beginning of the reincarnation cycle acting like an animal, and at the end of the cycle we act like an angel. And this is the purpose of reincarnation. It's for us to manifest our soul nature, which is joy, which is spirit, which is a part of God's infinite spirit, and to manifest his light and his love and his joy perfectly. And so it takes a long time. The process of reincarnation, it's like evolution in nature. Scientists tell us that it takes millions of years for these slow, gradual changes to take place. And it's the same in reincarnation. In one lifetime, you might have one or two experiences where you have a real deep epiphany, where you suddenly say, oh, I finally understand something that I've always wanted to know. And when you have that experience, that was one of the reasons you were born in that lifetime. That was one of the reasons you incarnated right now. And we don't get many of those in our lifetime because, as I said before, we spend so much time just taking care of the nitty-gritty details of life, you know, putting bread on the table, meeting our person we're going to spend our life with and so on, having children and so on. And so we don't get that many of these experiences unless we really just sort of dedicate our whole lives to those sort of experiences. But even there, then there's a limited amount of time. But when you connect these together from lifetime to lifetime, there's an arc of growth, of spiritual growth that happens as you go in from one body to the next. And over these long periods of time, this long evolution of consciousness, this evolution of the ego to be able to manifest your deeper soul nature, that's what the purpose of reincarnation is all about.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I was sitting here listening to your words and, you know, I know the catalyst that triggered for myself is that, you know, I had no experience as far as I was aware of on a conscious level of how to broadcast on a radio show or any of those other things. And then when I started receiving that pull to get on the radio, I said, oh my goodness, no one in their right mind is going to put someone that is very inexperienced behind a mic. So that said, when I actually got behind the mic on my very first radio show, something triggered within me, and I sat there and went, whoa, this is very natural for me. For someone that doesn't have any experience, I
yes.
just flowed with the show.
Yes,
and
yes.
It was very amazing. So as I continued, I just kept escalating, going up higher and higher with my hours of broadcast. More and more listeners were flooding in. And I said, you know, there's something to this.
Yes.
And that's when I was able to really tap into that particular lifetime.
Yes.
I often had done it. Been there, done it.
Yes. These things are familiar to you. Oftentimes people will notice that. They wonder, well, it's said that everybody comes into their life with some sort of gift, but where do these gifts come from? Are they just a question of chance, you know, in the universe, or luck of the genetic draw? You know, where does it come from? But if we understand that we've been around before, and we've worked on something before, and perhaps we've come into this lifetime to perfect it even more, and when you start to do something, suddenly you see you're able to do it just extremely well. You look at the people, say, in sports who are just the naturally gifted athletes, even from childhood. You know, people that, these are souls, many of them who have worked on that before, worked on perfecting their mind-body coordination, working on perfecting their reflexes, working on all these various aspects of the concentration and so on that have to do with excelling in sports. And then they come into a lifetime and they find they have a body that's able to do amazing things. Sometimes their body may not even be the ideal form for what they want to do, but they're able to do it anyway. I had a friend who was a very large-sized man, and we were playing a game of touch football. And I thought he would want to be a quarterback because he was so big, but he said, no, actually, I want to be wide receiver. So he went out for a pass, and I threw him the spiral. And he moved so gracefully, he was like a gazelle. And he was about, I think, close to 300 pounds, but he was just poetry in motion. And sometimes you see that with somebody whose physical body doesn't seem to match, you know, what they're able to do, but they just have these gifts, they just have these abilities. And this is what you learn through reincarnation. You know, it's said that you can't take it with you. And there's a story about a rich man who went to a psychic to try to find out who he would be in his next life so they could will all his money to that person. And so you can't take it with you that way. But the thing that you do take with you is the deep understanding, the deep spiritual lessons that you learn. Once you really learn something very deeply especially very spiritual lessons, you have it with you always, and that's something that's always with you. These are the treasures that we carry with us from lifetime to lifetime.
That's amazing that anybody would do that. That's the first time, that's a first for me, hearing that someone would actually do that. I'm going like, wow. I did want to share with our listeners this evening, this is a must read for believers in life and after death. This book is unlike anything you have ever read before, and I will contest to that. This book is quite remarkable. It is a story of an investigation that unearthed secrets of such a magnitude that they may rewrite history. It is a story of a metaphysical mystery locked in the pages of history and a search that uncovered evidence of past lives. The study grapples with some of the most momentous, pronounce that for me, would you, Richard? Sometimes I get a tongue twist.
Momentous?
Thank you. Oh, I did say it correctly. Events in America's past, the Civil War. He goes in to say in 1927, a flight across Lindbergh's historic 1927 flight across the Atlantic. It features some of the greatest men and women of the 19th and 20th centuries. If you thought you knew Abraham Lincoln or Charles Lindbergh, this book may force you to rethink your old assumptions. It is conclusive. You will recognize their soul journey and in the process gain a deeper understanding of your own. And that's another very key important element. Gain a deeper understanding of your own, for this book offers an experience of reincarnation. And I will have to say, when I picked this book up and started going through it, it really helped me to understand my own life and all my other past lives, what's going on in this particular lifetime, and how to be able to actually identify just in behavior, the way I carry myself, some of the soul issues that I came in to resolve in this particular lifetime. And so you did a really nice job, Richard, on this book. You really have.
Thank you. Thank you, Leilani. You know, like you were saying, one of the fascinating things about this book is that it's about people that we all know about. We've all heard about Lincoln and Lindbergh. Many of the reincarnation studies are really quite amazing and fascinating, but often we just have to take their word for it. For instance, one of the premier studies that got everybody interested in past lives was the book called Bridie Murphy. And it was about a young woman somewhere in the Midwest remembering a past life as this other young woman in Ireland. But neither of these people were well known, so we pretty much just had to take their word for it, what was in the book. It was still a fascinating story, but you couldn't really check on it or look it up. But with the case of Lincoln and Lindbergh, you can look all this up in your public library. Their lives are so deeply chronicled that you can find this information there. And I have a bibliography of the principal sources that I use in the back of the book, so if people want to look it up, they can. But again, this book, what it does is it takes you through the experience of reincarnation. Practically, it's almost like on a day-to-day basis. You see this happening from point after point after point, and chapter after chapter. There's 300 and something odd pages in it, and each page has several connections in it. So you just see there's just a lot there that can help you to really open your eyes to what's happening in your own life. And as I mentioned, many people while reading it have had that experience.
I have one other question, and I do want to make sure I honor our listener this evening, and it's from I.M., and she says, when born, how are you able to know what lies ahead to learn from this lifetime around? I would think, once again, you know, part of that would be meditation, but I'm going to let you answer that question.
Yes, we can't really see that much what's going to happen in the future. You can get some glimpses of that through meditation. The main thing is to be able to take care of what's happening right now. There's that saying that if I can take care of what's happening right now, then all the futures will be beautiful and everything that happens in the past as well. The spiritual path is really about being right here and now. We talk about past lives not to the extent that we want people to live in their past lives, but more that just an awareness of that can help them spiritually. Just as many people will go to psychiatrists, will spend hours and many dollars just trying to understand their childhood because they know that what happened then helped to form them as they are now, helped to really affected them. And gaining that understanding of that can really help them to understand themselves and how they can move forward where they are right now. And similarly, if you look at if that's true just for one childhood, how much more true would it be for many past lives that were not just a short period of time of a childhood, but a whole lifetime over and over again?
Yes. I want to remind all our listeners this evening, and I invite each and every one of you to explore my show page with BBS Radio. I have a wealth of information about Richard Salva and his book. I'd also like to share with all of you his website information as well, and that is CryStar. That's once again, C as in Charlie, R, Y as in yellow, S as in Sam, TARPress.com.
You know, Leilani, also there's a, there's also another way to get to my website that might be easier to remember, and it's called LincolnReincarnation.com. So they can also reach my website that way. And there's a special offer for my book if you want to get it through my website. If you'll go to LincolnReincarnation.com, it will tell you all about that.
Oh, excellent. And by the way, Richard, thank you so much for sending me this book. And it was a delight for me that I saw that you took the time out to sign this book for me. I wish more authors would do that. And it was just a pleasant surprise for me, so thank you.
Welcome. This is my pleasure, Leilani.
Oh, bless your heart, Richard. I have a comment here from Lady, and then I must say goodbye to you. We're already at the end of the show. Can you believe it, Richard?
Your time really flies in reincarnation and otherwise.
Yes, but we universal spiritual connection invite you again to come and share your wisdom and knowledge with all of us. I know that, you know, talking about reincarnation and karma and past lives is a real deep, and there's so many different layers to it that I'd love to hear more from you. Lady says here, so if you get a feeling and learn to listen to your spirit, then that will lead to past lives.
Yes, that's very much true. It's a process of awakening the intuition, and the intuition is like a muscle. If you use it, if you try working with it, you'll develop it until it reaches a point where it gives you much information that will really help in every area of your life. And knowledge of past lives, this is one way that you can work with that muscle, because it soon becomes apparent when something is real and when it isn't, especially if you're very honest with yourself. And then you can see how your intuition is deepening if more and more you're getting more and more information that just seems right on. You'll see that leading over into other parts of your life too, and this can just be a great blessing for you.
Yes. And one of our listeners makes a comment, learn to center yourselves, learn yoga, tai chi, and open your minds up. And very well said, because I know many, many people have made major life changes just by yoga, you know, practicing yoga and tai chi and some other mediums out there as well. So I encourage every one of you to take a look at that, because that's a very truthful statement that has been made here. The lady says here, I'm an artist and a writer in this lifetime, but spiritually I'm attracted to earth-based faith. Do you have any comments on that?
Could you repeat that, earth-based faith?
Sure, absolutely. She says, spiritually am attracted to earth-based faith.
F-A-I-T-H, Faith?
F-A-I-T-H.
Yes, yes. There are quite a number of Earth-based faiths that took place that many people were part of in history, and I think that if you feel that way, you might want to consider investigating and researching those times of history. Find those places and those practices that seem to be familiar to you, that when you read about them, it just seems like, oh, I know this. You know, there'll be little details that will stand out that you'll say, you know, I can relate to that completely. And then once you've been able to do that, you'll start to be able to fine-tune and pinpoint your understanding of it. And then the important thing is, of course, how this relates to you and how it relates to you now. Is it something that you'll want to bring into your life now? Is it something that would help you in your life now? And you can by tuning into it, you'll get an understanding of what you've understood before and how your understanding has grown through the lifetime since then, and also what you want to carry with you forward and what you want to leave behind.
Yes. Higher self says here, do you come back in the same gender and ethnic race? And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Wouldn't you agree with that, Richard?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, there are certain lessons that we learn from being in a male body or in a female body, and sometimes we just need to switch genders to learn those particular lessons. The same with the various nationalities. Each nationality sort of specializes on behalf of the human race in certain pursuits and understanding, you know, just like the French have been able to perfect I forget how many hundreds of kinds of cheese they've been able to make. I mean, but they've also been able to perfect other aspects of life, and same with the various different nationalities on the planet. So it can help us, especially if we're trying to tune into something that a certain nationality has a bead on. It can help us to be reborn in that particular part of the planet.
Well, Richard, I'm going to have to, you know, extend, which I gladly do, another invitation to you to come and share your thoughts with us. I'm not going to be able to get through all the questions here, and I do like to honor our listeners. I feel that that's very important because they're honoring us, and I do know that they've been very excited. They have flooded me with questions, and they've even thanked you for being on the show with us. So, and I personally want to thank you and I honor you for your great works and this incredible book that you have put out for all of us to enjoy and to really help us with our own soul journey. So thank you, Richard.
Well, thank you, Leilani. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And I also would like to thank all the listeners. It's just been a pleasure to be on the show with you as well, and I hope that you've all enjoyed it as much as I have. And
I
would
did.
Be very.
I
also wanted to say I would be very happy to come on the show again. I would be very happy to do so.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to say good evening to you, Richard, and we send you our love and our blessings, and we look forward to rejoining you once again. So, thank you, Richard, and when you're ready, you can just disconnect from us.
Okay. Take care.
You do as well, Richard. Good night to you.
Good night.
I just want to remind all our listeners, I am truly honored to have every one of you with me this evening. And my hope is that you will be inspired, that you will be able to take information with you that will help you with your own soul journey. If you have any ideas or comments that you would like to share with me, please do not hesitate to send me an email, and that is imdivinelight@aol.com. On that note, remember, I am that I am. You are the power and the intelligence of you, your world, and activities. Love thyself, and always remember to love your families with all your heart. Until we meet again, be well to each and every one of you. Good night.
all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn to face myself and learn to fly?